I'm going to go ahead and open up in a quick prayer, and then we'll get started. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for this day, God. I thank you for this hour, Lord. And Lord, I just ask you to come in like a flood, God. I pray that you would anoint the atmosphere here, God, and use me for your glory, God. I pray that the words that I speak would come out with power, Lord, and that it would touch each listener right now in the name of Jesus, God. I pray that you would bring those things back to my remembrance that I've studied, God. And I pray that I would decrease so you could increase in me and be big, God. I thank you, Lord, that you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, God. And everything starts and ends with you, God. So I give up myself to you, God, and I ask you to use me, Father God, during this time with your saints, Lord. And I'll just remember to give you all praise, glory, and honor for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, this is a different experience for me, so I pray. I ask your prayers, Lord, that you would just pray for me as I move forward in the word today. It feels a little cut off from you guys, but God is good. Amen? Amen. So the book that I'm studying this year is the book of Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy comes from the Greek name, Deuteros Nomaion. And that means second law. The book of Deuteronomy was written by Moses at approximately 1451 BC. This is the first generation at this point in chapter one. The first generation is dead. And there's only two remaining, Joshua and Caleb. Moses gathers the second generation eastward towards the Jordan River and recites those things again to the new generation, lest they forget what the Lord has done. There's three themes in the book of Deuteronomy. The first one is, it's a review of the past. That's chapters 1-4. The requirements for the present is the second theme. And that's chapters 5-26. And the third theme is readiness of the future. And that's chapters 27-34. It's a story about what God has done, what God is doing in the present, and what God will do in the future. Moses' last few weeks of his life is categorized by a briefing to this next new generation. So let's open up our word, and we're going to step through Deuteronomy chapter 1. Starting at the first verse, these be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side of Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea between Paran, Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Disahab. There are 11 days journey for Horab by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him and commanded them. So they turned an 11-day march into a 40-year meandering. Verse 4, after he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwell in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Azeroth and Edrei. On this side of Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Let me repeat. Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Sometimes God has to say that to us. We've been there long enough. time's up. You're circling this mountain over and over and over again. God has so much more terrain for us to cover. But the problem is we get comfortable, we get complacent. We hate specifically when our routine changes. And I think that that is human nature. On my job, when there's a change coming down the pipeline, I do a couple of things, but there's almost always some type of rebuttal. That happens when you work with exceptionally smart people. And so they tend to think they know everything. Bishop used to say, smart people scare me, because they really do think they know it all. So generally, I have to explain why the change is coming down the pipeline. I have to list the pros and the cons to be able to help people understand the why. The why is always an important thing. And then I write up a recommendation, I present that, and then I come back and ask them if they have input. Now, we may take the input or we may not, but then we roll out the change. And it's always an uncomfortable thing. So we can tell that they had gotten comfortable and complacent. So turn at verse 7, it says, turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and go unto the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, in the valley, in the south, and the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So God had actually promised them 300,000 square miles of land. At their peak or their pinnacle, they occupied only 30,000 square miles, which is only 1/10 of what God had promised them. So God gave them a land, but it was really up to them to conquer, to overtake it, to possess the land. This region that they were looking at, or that God had given them, was our present day. If you were to look at a map, it covers northern Egypt, Lebanon, Israel, Iraq. And so that's a pretty sizable area. And it's almost like if I were to give you a gift and it's beautifully wrapped and Pastor, here's the gift, amen. And if Pastor were to just look at it and say, oh, that's beautiful, Sister Tracy. I love the wrapping. It's gorgeous. But if she put it on, say, the shelf because she was admiring its beauty but never opened the gift, then it would be of none effect. She would not be able to enjoy the gift to its fullest. And this is such with the children that were on this march for such a long time. So let's pause here. I believe that this is a familiar experience that most of us have come into contact in our lives. Scripture, if we look at 2 Peter 1, verse 3, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge in God and of our Jesus Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great precious promises, that though these may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped corruption that in this world through lust. God has given us so much, but we have to be able to appropriate it. It's yours to enjoy. And even from a spiritual perspective, most of us can say, gosh, I know there's more that God wants me to do. And it's there. We just have to overtake it. We have to conquer it. Amen. Because they're gifts from God. So if we go on to verse 8, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in, possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and their seed after them. And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. The Lord your God hath multiplied you. He had grown them. They had grown. Amen. And behold, ye are this day the stars of heaven for multitude. The Lord God your fathers make you a thousand times so many more as ye, and bless you as he hath promised you. How can I myself bear your cumbrance, your burden, and your strife? Take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And he answered me and said, the thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chiefs of your tribe, wise men and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, captains over hundreds, captains over fifties, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. And I charge your judges at times, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother and stranger that is with him. And so what is Moses saying here? He's saying in verse 12, I am not able to bear you myself alone. And so I thought about in ministry, how it takes a collective body to bring forth God's divine will and purpose in our lives. And so it's not up to Pastor Hackett to shoulder the burden on her own. And no matter how gifted a person is, it takes a collective body. And so that's why with the leading of the Lord, Pastor Hackett has appointed elders, deacons, ministers, evangelists in our ministry to help shoulder the burden. God did not design it for one man to do alone. And I can only imagine, you know, he was probably in the midst of chaos at times where people weren't getting along, and sister so-and-so did this, and I don't like the way this one over here cooks. And so it's a lot to put on the leader or the person that's being led of God and those that are following under that person. So it's definitely not designed for her to take the burden on her own. So verse 17, do not show partiality in judging, hearing both small and great alike. Do not be afraid of anyone, for judgment belongs to God. Bring me any case too hard for you, and I will hear it. And at that time, I told you everything you were to do. Amen. So then we go into spies, this area that where God, now we're starting to talk about the spies being sent out. Then, as the Lord our God commanded us, we set out Horeb and went toward the hill country of the Amorites through all the vast and dreadful wilderness that you have seen. And so we reached Kadesh Barnea. Then I said to you, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, told you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Then all of you came to me and said, let us send men ahead to spy out the land for us and bring a report about the route we are to take and the towns we will come to. And in theory, this sounded like a really good idea. Let's send some people out there. Let's go surveillance the land. Let's come back and they'll give us a report of what they saw. But when you really think about it, this was nothing less than an act of fear and unbelief. Let's go out and spy the land. Why? God did not tell them to spy out the land. The Lord told them to go do it, go get it, possess it, and take it, and it's yours. That's what God said, but they wanted to do it their way. We wanted to go and check it out first. Why would you need their word instead of listening to God's word? And I feel like in life, people are more apt to follow what a man's word versus what did God say? We need to be in touch with his spirit. We need to have the Holy Spirit so that we can be able to be led of God and be able to hear his voice, right? His voice comes before any other voice. And so this was a first act of disobedience. Amen. So they, when they did this, they ended up wandering for, you know, years, 38 more years at this point. That's why they stayed just meandering, going around and around. And that caused a delay. And remember, it was only supposed to be an 11-day march and turned into a 40-year meandering.
Pardon me, Sister Tracy. Yeah. We don't know what scripture you're in. There's people asking about where you're in the scripture. Can you please repeat your scripture?
Yeah, we're in the book of Deuteronomy, the first chapter.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Amen. All right, so then we noticed, and now we're at verse 23 of First Deuteronomy. And the idea seemed good to me, is what, this is Moses speaking. So I selected 12 of you, one man from each tribe. They left, went up to the country hill, came to the valley of Eshkel, and explored it, taking with them some of the fruits of the land that they had brought it down and reported. And it was good land, and the Lord, our God, is giving us. So to repeat that, they said they brought it. So they, verse 25, taking with them some of the fruit of the land. So they took some of the fruit from Moab. They brought it down to us and reported, it is a good land, and the Lord, our God, is giving us. Well, duh. God, why would you have doubted God? God said it was a great land. So this shouldn't have been a surprise. Why were they saying he was saying this the whole time? But then they start in this rebellious nature. And so when we look at verse 26, but you are willing to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, the Lord hates us. So he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go? Our brothers have made our hearts melt in fear. They say, the people are stronger and taller than we are, and the cities are large with walls up to the sky. We even saw the Anakites there. So now they're starting to freak out because they see the giants, and the giants were like these huge warlike people. And so now they're freaking out. Then I, verse 29, then I say and said unto you, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God is going before you. He will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord, your God, had carried you as father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. So he's saying, look, guys, you're tripping. Like, I've been taking care of you this whole time. So why are you fearful? Did you forget about when I parted the Red Sea? Were you guys sleeping? What's going on? So verse 32 says, in spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord, who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and a cloud by day to search out places for you to camp and show you the way you should go. So all of this week, even before I really got deep into the study, I was hearing blind faith, blind faith. And so we need to have blind faith. We need to be able to trust God. We need to be able to hear his voice. Amen. We need to be able to go by his leading. Amen. So that's what he's showing you. Did you forget all of the things that I did for me, for you in the past? Why are you stressing out about what's going on today? I am a God, you know, I have all power in my hand. Amen. So this is the, so if we look at verse 32, in spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night, in a cloud by day to search out places for you to camp and show you the way you should go. This event was memorialized as the rebellion throughout the remaining word. Like, this is the pivotal situation that happened that the word always points back to. So if we go to Psalms 95, starting at about the sixth verse, the sea is his and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. For he is our God, we are his people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if we hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my work, 40 years as long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is the people who do err in their heart. Okay, they erred in their own heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Amen. So Psalms is pointing back to the situation. So then we're at the 34th verse. When the Lord heard what you had said, he was angry and solemnly swore, no one from this evil generation shall see the good land I swore unto your ancestors except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And he will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land to set his feet on because he had followed the Lord wholeheartedly. So they trust God, right? And so we want to pause here because Joshua and Caleb, they saw the giants too. They saw the fruit. They saw the problems. They saw the benefits. All of the 12 that were sent out to spy out the land saw the same thing, but they had different perspectives on what they saw. And they measured it differently. It's almost like, you know, what is your perspective today? Is the glass half empty or is it half full? And so we have to check our perspective because, again, they all saw the same thing, but they chose to see it differently. We have to trust God. So at the verse 37, because of you, the Lord became angry with me also and said, you shall not enter either, but your assistant Joshua, son of Nun, will enter it. Encourage him because he will lead Israel to inherit it. And the little ones that you said were taken captive, your children will not, who do not yet know good from bad, they will enter the land. I will give it to them and they will possess, they will take possession of it. But as for you, turn around, set out towards the desert along the route of the Red Sea. So that was unfortunate. So God was not happy, and he basically told them, you're not going to see the promised land. I'm only going to allow Joshua and Caleb and the new generation to see it. Then you replied, we have all sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight as the Lord God has commanded us. So every one of you will put his weapons, thinking it is easier to go up unto the country hill, the hill country. But the Lord said unto me, tell them, do not go up and fight, because I will not be with you. You will be defeated by your enemy. So they want to just go about and do their own thing. But God is saying, no, I did not tell you that. I said, you will not inherit the promised land. So verse 43, So I told you, but you would not listen. You rebelled against the Lord's command in your arrogance and marched up to the country hill. The Amorites who lived in those hills came out against you. They chased you like a swarm of bees, beat you down from Seir all the way to Hormah. And you came back and wept before the Lord, but he paid no attention to your weeping and turned a deaf ear to you. So you stayed at Kadesh many days, all the time you spent there. So what is that saying to us? That they were in so much rebellion. God was like, I'm not hearing you. You haven't been listening to me this whole time, and you've been doing whatever you wanted to do. So now I'm turning a deaf ear to you. Amen. So when we talk about biblical folks walking in faith, there's some scripture that I wanted to go over just a little bit, just to remind us some of the folks that have gone before us that walked in faith. And so by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that was his righteous. God testifies of his gifts and being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God hath translated him. For his translation, he had his testimony that pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For we cometh to God first, we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he hath commanded the world, and became heir of righteousness, which was by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called out unto a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, in the strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed and deliver the child that she, when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And so I looked at times in my life when I had exhibited faith and I didn't have the outcome of the situation, but I knew that God was with me. So by faith, which job was it? Because there's been several in the last couple of years, but I had gone, my contract ended at Capital One. Then I was working at Starbucks, and then that contract was coming to an end. And I had a decision that I needed to make. I was dealing with my current company that I didn't know anything about. And then I was being offered potentially an opportunity back at Capital One, because when your contract ends after like 2 years, there, you have to wait 3 months before you can go back. That's just part of the rules. And so I had two options, but I asked the Lord, and I had to have faith which way was I supposed to go. And in my heart, I knew God was leading me go into this new place. I didn't know anything about it, but I trusted God. I have faith. I knew he had my back. And God, he doesn't always give us steps A through Z. He might say, here's step A. Now I'm going to take, so Tracy's going to take it to step B. And then when I get to step B, then he's going to say, okay, now I want you to go to step C. Or no, we're going to skip C and D and go to E. So we have to exhibit faith. Faith without works is dead. So I'm in at MeteorCom. Now it's been over 3 years. The company, Capital One, that I could have chosen because I had been there and it was familiar and it was comfortable, has now laid off everybody and they've moved their offices to the East Coast. So that goes to show you, if I would have taken that route because I was comfortable, I would be out of work today. So we have to look at those things, and we have to be led of God. The other area was when I was going through my divorce, and I had to, you know, I was trying to get everything in line to purchase a new home. The only way I could do that, I have to sign off my interest on the other home. Like I couldn't, that would mean that if that house was sold, I wouldn't get any benefit from that home. Without having, nothing is guaranteed when you're doing mortgages, right? So until you sign that dotted line, everything's still up in the air and can be until the day of closing. But I told Pastor Hackett, I said, I know God has me. Like I had an assurity. I knew that I had the faith. I knew God was on my side. And I said, I'm not worried about it. So I signed my name off. And even it was months out until I secured my home, but I knew God was with me. Now at any time that deal could have gone through and I could be living in an apartment today, but I knew God had better for me. So we have to stop being comfortable and take those risks when we know that, and I don't know if I'd call it a risk, but we have to come out of complacency and that level of comfortability and move in the things of God. Amen. You'll never know unless you take that step. Amen. So let's talk about increasing our faith. So there's, but before I go there, I want to talk about things that are faith killers. And so for me, a lot of what's been going on in the news with the coronavirus, it's been a really, could at times be stressful. And so I had to make some decisions about what I was going to take into my spirit, just so I could feel like I can function and not be stressed out. So here are some areas, and you may want to take notes on this, that things that distract us or keep us from having faith. So one area is negativity. Negativity can come from yourself or can come from others. When we listen to malicious chatter, it prevents us from moving forward. It can be suffocating. It can be discouraging, and it takes the focus off of God, and it magnifies every single weakness that we have. We can't pursue our dreams if we're filled with negative words and toxic people around us. So a step that I took is, like, even with this virus situation, like on my work computer, I have this notification. It's like the Sun magazine, and every day, and literally like five times a day, it pops up a notification and says, you know, young husband of four killed by the coronavirus, or, you know, family of five, three members killed from the corona. So this is literally flashing across my screen all throughout the day. And, you know, you get sucked in it because you click on the article, you read, and you're like, oh my God, right? So I had to make a conscious decision. I'm going to disable those notifications so I cannot get that in my spirit. I had also decided to watch the news once per day, not all throughout the day, but once a day, so I'm informed, but not letting that overtake my spirit with negativity, because it will stress you out if you let that get into your being. So there's things that we can do to disconnect from toxic people and even ourselves when we are not walking in the spirit and really trusting God. So we have to drown that negativity out. And so Proverbs 18:21, the power, the tongue has the power of life and death. So our life and death lies in the power of the tongue. Amen. And so we need to watch what we speak, watch what we speak over ourselves, and speaking only positive words. Choose to listen to God's voice over others. You have control of what you can think and what you choose to dwell on in your mind. As a man thinketh, so is he. So we, whatever you put, like Bishop and Mom have trained us, whatever you put out is what you're going to get. So try to change your thought process and begin to think positive. And, you know, basically fake it till you make it, you know, speak positive affirmations over yourself. Amen. Another area is self-doubt. So this is quite the biggest threat, can be a huge threat to your dreams, because if the enemy can get you to doubt yourself, he knows he's pretty much won. And so doubt will leave every longing on the table with a list of reasons why you're not good enough or why you're not enough. You'll look at a million things different. And you'll have an attitude like, you just can't do it. God picked the wrong person for the job. I must have heard it incorrectly. And so, you know, I've struggled a lot with self-doubt just because of just like baggage and things that I've gone through. And so we have to be able to choose God and know what he's saying about us, right? And God says that he's made us fearfully and wonderfully, right? We're beautiful in his eyes, right? And so we have to know that we have purpose and that we're amazing in his eyes and that our life has meaning. Another area that we need to focus on, or that we need to, I should say, drown out, is fear, right? So fear can be paralyzing. It can be gripping. It can actually stop you dead in your tracks. There's different types of fear. You can have fear of people, fear of rejection, fear of failure. And like I said, when that fear comes over you, it actually puts you in a place where you're stuck and you can't move in the things of God. And so one scripture, Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about for you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with the righteousness of my hand. So knowing that God has our back, right? And we want to not move in fear, because God has power over everything, and we have to consistently remind each other to trust God. Fear, God will eradicate that fear from our lives. Amen. So even if, and this is funny, because this one I got, I looked up, and it talks about taking steps forward no matter how small. Even with your knees knocking and your heart pounding, you can take a step. Take baby steps, incremental baby steps to get to where you need to be. It could be just the smallest of things. And as you take a step and get to step B, then God will direct you to step C. Amen? All right. And so the last one is procrastination. So the lie is that you don't have time. You know, we tend to want to put things that aren't comfortable on the back burner. It seems too difficult. It's going to cost us something. We're already, you know, weary with all of our other responsibilities in life. And so days slip into months, months into years, and those things we can never, ever get back. You know, we might think it's too late for us, or, you know, all of these negative thoughts, negative energy that come to us to take us out and to cause us not to act and move on the things of God. But Psalms 90:12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain of heart of wisdom. So we need to choose to pray and move forward as God leads and opens new doors. So as he, like I said, you go to from step A to B, and then he'll lead you to the next door. But at least there's some type of movement to get to the next level. Amen. So now we want to talk about, in closing, things that will help us increase our faith. Amen. So remember, we're talking about blind faith. So yeah, it's easy to have faith for the things that we see, but we have to have faith for even those things that we don't see, that aren't tangible. That's what it is to walk in faith, right? So the first one is obviously read your word. Amen. And Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So you read the word, you recite the word, you speak the word out loud, and that will begin to increase your faith, because what comes out of your mouth then also in turn comes back into your heart. Amen. The next one is to heed the word. So James 1:22-24, but be doers of the word, not only hearers, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. So that's interesting. You know, people can recite the word all day long. You can quote scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, know the word backward and forth. But if you're not doers, it's of none avail, right? You look into a mirror, see your natural face, walk away, and then you forget what it looks like. So you need to get the word in your spirit and in your heart and heed to the word and be obedient to it. Another area to increase your faith is testing the word, right? So there's a difference what I mean by testing or you know, contesting God. We're talking about testing the word or proving God's word is true. And so in Malachi, we recite this every Sunday, 3:9-11 offers a practical way that we can prove him faithful to his word about tithing, offering, and stewardship over the things he has given us. And so it says, and try me now, this saith the Lord of hosts. And if I will not open up you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive it. So you have to be able to encompass his word, right? You have to test his word out. That will be increasing your faith. The word says that you just need the size of a mustard seed, which is teeny tiny, maybe the size of a pin, the end of a pin, very small, right? But your faith will grow as you begin to walk these things out. And so I would encourage the listeners today, ask yourself, where is your faith? Are you walking in blind faith? Or are you walking according to what your natural eyes are seeing? And in this time of everything that's going on, we have to be able to drown out negativity, get into God's word, pray, and trust God for the rest. We're trusting God for his outcome. Amen. And so that's all I have for you. Hopefully some of it fell on good ground this morning. I just thank you guys for listening in. Thank you so much, and God bless you. Amen.
Amen. We just thank Sister Tracy for that powerful word this morning, coming out of the book of Deuteronomy, the very first chapter. If you tuned in late, that's where she was teaching out of, talking about the last days of Moses and how he was preparing the children of Israel to enter into the promised land, the land that, you know, they're ancestors had been promised, the land that their parents had been wandering in the wilderness, waiting for the opportunity to cross over. But this was, as she said, the second generation, not the first, because the second generation were the ones that were given the opportunity to cross over into the promised land. Because if we remember, the first generation, they stumbled because of their unbelief. And God said that not one of them would cross over except for two, which was Joshua and Caleb, because they believed in God. But just to go over some of the high points that Sister Tracy mentioned, and then we're going to open it up for those that would like to comment on the word or say something about what they heard this morning. But a couple things. One, she said that the book was written by Moses around 1451 BC. And this, she said, three things that are discussed in the book of Deuteronomy. One, it's reviewing their past. And we can take it as such, looking back over our past. requirements for the present time. What is God requiring of us for right now? And readiness for the future. What is he doing to get us ready when we walk into the promises, when we walk into the blessings that he's got us in store for? She said that an 11-day journey, that's how long it would have taken them to go from Egypt into the promised land. But because of their unbelief and their continual complaining about anything and everything, despite all the many miracles that God done to show them his ability,
miracles.
That 11-day journey turned into 40 years. Is that going to happen to any of us? How long have we been circling our blessing because of our unbelief, because of our complaining? And God is just waiting for us to get on board so he can allow us to cross over. She said that God was preparing them for a change. Many times a change comes into place, and a lot of us, sometimes including myself, have a hard time grasping that change. We're used to the old way, and we don't like change. But how many of you know that even with all that's going on right now with the virus situation, it's bringing about a change? The world will never be the same as what it was. A change is taking place. Even when the virus passes, things will not go back to the way they were. There will be a difference, a different outlook on all of humanity. But she also mentioned that the promise that God had given these people was some 300,000, now fathom that, square miles of land, of property. But they were only able to conquer and possess 30,000 square miles. 10% of what God had promised them, and that's all that they were able to receive. You know, I wrote myself a note. Sometimes we don't get all that God has promised us. We only get a fraction because of our unbelief or our unwillingness to move when he says to move. How many blessings have you left lingering? How many promises have you left lingering because we didn't move on them? Or we didn't do it the way that God said to do it? Many of us could have so much more than what we have, or be in a lot better position if we'd have only moved when God said move.
Amen.
Because too many times we get the word and we have to go home and ponder on it. Is that really God? We kind of got a Gideon spirit about us, you know. Was that really God talking to me, or was he talking to somebody next to me? And we question God, and God says, no, I'm talking to you. He said that we have to utilize what God has given us. Ministry takes a collective body to help with ministry. This is where the children of Israel went wrong. See, they sent out spies to spy out the land. Instead of just taking God at his word, they had to send some people out to check out the land, to bring back a report. Well, we have to ask ourselves, whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe God? Or are you going to believe a bunch of other people? God won't steer you wrong. She said that we need to have blind faith. We don't need to ask a bunch of questions. God is not holding a democratic committee where we can all voice our opinions on what needs to be done or how he is going to do things. We just need to take him at his word and move. God is looking for believers, is a note that I wrote down. And only believers will enter the promised land. Where is your faith? We should only move forward when God gives us a clear signal that he is ahead of us. Because too many times, myself included, over my past, I've made decisions, did things. God wasn't in the mix of them, and I had to suffer needless consequences because I didn't listen. She talked about the book of Hebrews, talking about faith. Faith. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, and the list goes on that these people were led by their faith in God. They didn't question, they just did what God told them to do, and God led them every step of the way. I wrote down a scripture real quick. Psalms 37 and 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Are your steps being ordered by God? If God orders your steps, you can never go wrong. She said, one, we have to step out in faith. Yeah, there are a lot of things that we can't see and we're wondering and we have questions, but we need to put those things aside and just take the step, knowing that God will reveal the steps as we go. He talked about faith killers, things that will destroy or limit our relationship with God. Negativity. We need to get away from people that are always negative. You ever been around somebody who is just pessimistic all the time, didn't have anything good to say, was just down on everything? Well, if you're around those kinds of people long enough, that gets into your spirit. And pretty soon you start taking on some of those things. She also said we need to limit, she said newscast, but I'll just take it a little bit further. Any kind of medium that might be out there, whether it's TV or radio or the internet or social media or whatever it is, you need to limit the negativity that you're taking into your spirit. Because, see, we need to quit talking about what's going on, and we need to start talking about what God is doing, because we know that God has a plan for the believer. And God will cover each and every one of us throughout all of this. Because even the virus, think about it, it couldn't take place unless it were sanctioned by God. And if God sanctioned it, obviously he must have a purpose for it. Even in the midst of all of this great calamity, God is still saving souls.
Amen.
God is still saving souls. He's touching somebody's mind. He's changing somebody's heart. He's changing somebody's attitude or outlook on things because they can see the hand of God moving throughout this virus. Somebody is listening for the call and getting saved. She also said that we need to not doubt, fear, procrastination. Those things will kill your faith. She said death and life are in the power of the tongue. We need to watch what we say. The Bible says, be quick to hear, slow to speak. Think about what you're going to say before you speak it out there. Because once it's spoken, you can't get those words back. Think about what you're going to say to somebody. Let it be uplifting and not downgrading. She said, the scripture, so teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Have God lead us in all things. She said, we need to have faith. What are the things that will help our faith? One, get out your word. We've got a lot of free time these days. Take time. Amen. Read your word. Refresh yourself about God's promises. What did God say in his word for you? Remind yourself. Not only do we need to read the word, but we need to heed the word, she said, or live the word. I can read it day in and day out, but see, if I don't live it, it's not going to do me any good. You know, I can quote scripture, as she said, from sun up to sundown. But if I don't live that scripture, it won't do me any good. I'm always telling my wife and others, Psalms 91, in particular now, we've probably heard Psalms 91 more than any other time in history. Because now you've got other places that normally wouldn't quote the scripture that are quoting it. But it shall not come nigh thee. Well, see, that only works if I believe it and live it. She also said, testing the word. Do you ever take time to test God's word? See if it does what he said it will do? You know, we need to prove God's word in every area of life, not only throughout the virus that we're going through in the midst of now, but in our everyday life, even before the virus and after the virus comes. We need to prove the word of God. And last but not least, she asked a question that reminded me of an old song that I used to listen to and still do by the Reverend James Cleveland. Where is your faith? Is faith going to be a positive for you, or is it going to be a negative for you? Even the man that had the daughter that was sick, and he wanted Jesus to provide a miracle for his loved one. And he told the Lord told him, just believe. And he says, I want to believe, but help mine unbelief. We can ask him. If your faith is not where it should be today, we have the privilege to be able to ask, Lord, increase my faith. Help me to believe, even though everything around me says to the contrary. Help me to look past all of that and help me to believe in you. You know, if we were in a live audience, I would say give her a hand because she did an awesome job this morning. Thank you, Sister Tracy, for allowing God to use you this morning. Amen. You served a full course breakfast, and if everybody didn't get theirs, I surely got mine. All right? But at this time, I want to open the floor, Elder, if you can take control of that for those that might have a comment or a thought on what was said this morning. Powerful word.
Yeah, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Thank you, Sister Tracy, for giving us that powerful word. It was awesome. Thank you so much. It was amazing. So right now we have mostly everybody on the Zoom platform. And so what I'd like for you to do, if you'd like to provide commentary, just simply just type me, the word me, in the chat, and then I will turn on your audio. We will not turn on your video, but we'll turn on your audio so that we can hear you. And we'll go in the order that your response comes in the chat. Praise the Lord. If you'd like to do that, if you'd like to make a comment, again, type it in the chat now. Amen. We'll just wait a few seconds. Now, we do have some phone callers. We have three people on phone. And so what we'll do here is we'll start out with what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the phone. I'm going to call out the last four of your phone number. And if you want to talk, just say yes. If you don't, just say no. Okay, so 3343. 3343. Okay, we're going to move on. 1060. 1060?
No.
No, thank you. Okay. All right. And then 4191.
Yes.
Amen. Go ahead. You have the floor.
Yeah, good morning, Elder Sufferfield. This is Deacon Wolf.
Hey, Deacon Wolf.
Yeah, I'm just enjoying and not that worried about Sister Stacy, Tracy, that she brought the wonderful word from the Lord. Thank God for my brother-in-law, Elder Harris, for his comment and remark that he brought out too. And to my mother, Patrick, God bless you, baby, and continue to keep doing what you're doing. And to all the greater like members, Hannah, like he said, whatever's going on, you can bet that God have allowed it to happen for a reason. And that reason is happening is to draw us close to him, why he is near. Because it's going to come a time when he come back, it's going to be too late for us to draw near to him and recognize that he's Lord of Lord and King of King. But I'm going to just share this with you, and I thank God for y'all. And you know, if we as people, as believers, will stop worrying about the problem and start focus on the promise of God, we'll be what God wants us to be. Quit worrying about the problem. Y'all remember Peter was worrying about him sinking in the sea, but because he lost focus on the prize, which was Jesus. If we put more time in studying on the promise of God, we'll be a better people. And God bless you, and may he keep you all, and y'all continue to pray for us, and we continue to pray for you all. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon. Praise the Lord. All right. So the next person that we are going to go to is Deaconess Cherie Stevenson. Let me get you unmuted. Just one second. Okay, Deaconess, you're on.
She's muted on her end, I think.
Okay.
I'm going to mute myself. Good morning.
Hey.
That was some words, Sister Tracy. As Elder Harris was commenting on the word that went forth, you know, God spoke something to me, especially where it's concerning our faith. And you said, where is your faith? And he said, God has given you everything you need, so walk in that confidence. So even with everything that's going on, Elder Harris said, you know, the steps of a good man are ordered by God. And God has, you know, said in his word to go out and possess his land. But if we're not reading his word or taking in his word, we won't know what to do. Even in these times that we're in right now, this is in the Bible. It may not be the exact words, coronavirus, but diseases and plagues are, you know, they're in the Bible, you know. And it's so funny how I'm with you, Sister Tracy, and, you know, trying to stop taking in all this negativity because you hear this, you hear that, and then you start to not know what to believe, you know. But the one thing that we can but do is we can believe in God. And I noticed that, you know, people are reaching out, you know, for prayer. A friend of mine, a high school friend of mine, reached out for prayer for her excuse me, for her daughter-in-law's uncle and grandmother that were, you know, diagnosed with the virus. And that was on Thursday. And I actually text a prayer. I mean, I prayed. And today, this morning, before I got on this call, the grandmother, you know, she did have a weakened immune system, but she's released from the hospital and the uncle is doing better. So that encouraged me, you know, and praying, you know, for them. And I started thinking, you know, God is answering my prayer, you know, if it's just to increase her faith, you know, that all you have to, she's reaching out for prayer, which is fine, but you pray and watch God answer your prayers as well. And it's just amazing. You know, that encouraged me for myself because, you know, this stuff is just wild. So I'm with you, Sister Tracy. Stop taking in the negativity and just find the positive things and focus on those things and let God do the rest. Because as Elder Harris said, God is in control of this whole thing and he's not going to let anything happen to us, because he said he would never leave us nor forsake us or his seed begging for bread. So yeah. I thank God for his blood.
Amen.
Thank you for the
word. Awesome. You know, I would just say this real quickly, guys, is that, you know, because we talk about the word and what God is doing in this particular time and how God is actually touching folks that otherwise wouldn't really give him recognition or acknowledgement. But, you know, I was recently looking at something on social media a few days ago, and this kind of struck me, and I just took a picture of it to capture it. But there's this casino down in Vegas, and I want to read you what they had up on their video billboard. Now, think of this now. This is in Vegas, Sin City, as the world calls it. But it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." This was on the video board at one of the casinos in Vegas. Now, since when is that a place that would uplift God? But see, in trying times, God can change anybody's heart and draw people that otherwise wouldn't recognize him that will recognize him. But the next caller, Elder.
All right. Amen. Sister Patricia, you're on.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi. Thank you, Sister Tracy, for the awesome word. That was awesome. And when you were talking about Moses, I think of myself at that moment because I feel like my Moses is my family. I feel like Moses. I'm trying to get everybody to just walk through that sea. Some are getting on board, some are not. So I just had a chuckle. And thank you. And you're right. I found myself this week, like sometimes a fear will come over me about, okay, the uncertainty, what's going to happen in the future with the job, you know, with my job and different things. And I had to fight in my head. Like, no, you're going to, everything will be right. Everything's going to be right. You know, you have a conversation with yourself, you know, in your head. You're going to be okay. Everything, God is showing himself you're going to be okay. He's making ways for you. He's been doing it for you. Trust him, believe in him. And you're right, Elder Harris. Is help. We have no excuse now. We're being still. Get in the word.
That's right.
So I've been opening my word more than ever and praying. And I actually thank God for this moment in time, because it's actually got me still. I'm more still than ever before in a while. And I'm able to really focus on what I'm supposed to be doing with, you know, my life right now with God, of course, God in it, you know. So, and you have to be careful what you pray for sometimes, because he'll definitely answer your prayers. Because I've been praying, Lord God, slow me down. I worked, work. Well, guess what? I ain't working. So enjoy. I'm trying to learn to enjoy the rest in this situation, no matter what the outcome is looking like right now. Just rest in God. And that's, thank you for that word says. Appreciate you. God bless everybody.
Thank you, Sister Trish. All right, we're going to move on. We're going to go to Evangelist Stubblefield. Let me get you unmuted. Just 1 second. Okay.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good morning, Saints of the Most High God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning. Sister
Tracy, you might as well just call me sis and told me that over the phone face to face, because that was for me. Praise the Lord. I was thinking as you were giving your lesson, I've had my faith tested in ways in this last 10 months that I didn't know were possible. Mm-hmm. And I've discovered two of them. And what I mean by that is we quote the word, as you mentioned, and we speak the word, we read the word. However, if we come behind that and say, but, for instance, we quote the scripture, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God deliver him out of them all. If I come behind that and say, but I don't feel good, but my body hurts, but I can't sleep, but I can't eat, I have effectively, I've canceled what I've said. So you mentioned that death and life is in the power of the tongue. I have to be very careful what I speak. I have to be. And so the other faith killer, this is a lot, but I'll be brief. The other faith killer for me, I find, is when I'm, again, it goes with what I just said, is having a double mind, a wishy-washy disposition. Do you believe the word of God or not? And that's what the Lord showed me, is that when I speak contrary to his word, I thank him for his grace, because he will come when I cannot, I don't have any more faith, or my faith is fatigued, and I'm just tired. And I'm like, Lord, I'm trying to hold on. I really am. But I'm beat up right now. My faith is taking a beating. God in his grace, Haya, has come. And he has snatched me out of my own situation. He's literally changed my mind. It wasn't just a few nights ago. It was 3:00 in the morning, and I couldn't sleep because I was in so much pain. I got up and the Lord met me, and I probably spoke in my heavenly language for about an hour and couldn't stop. And I just poured out. And when I finally fell back asleep, there were no buts that I could say. I couldn't come back and say, but God, I was just done. I was empty, and I just thanked God for that. So I thank him that he's faithful to his word. And I hear pastors say this all the time. We have to set our faces flint. I know that's in Isaiah. And so that's what I've done, that when my faith is fatigued, it takes a steely determination in the spirit realm to say, Lord, I don't care what it looks or feels like. It's your word or nothing. And I tell my husband all the time, people ask my opinion. I don't have an opinion. All I have is the word of God. It don't mean nothing about what I think about anything. What does God say? And I when I pray, Lord, I'm in pain. But what does your word say about that? You said that you would deliver me out of them all. And so I believe it. I just have to believe him. I don't have anything else other than my faith. So when my faith is beat up, I have to turn to his word and say, God, you are the God of everything. And you said you take the responsibility. Sister Tracy, you mentioned that verse that it's by his right hand that he'll uphold us. And I call that word back to him all the time. God, I didn't say these words. You said these words. I didn't declare that you can save me by your right arm. You made that declaration. So the responsibility, the onus is on you to take care of me. And that's changed my faith level. And so I thank you for that word today. And God bless you all. It's sure enough good to see y'all.
Amen, sis. Thank
you so much. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. It was a very powerful word that was given this morning through Sister Tracy. Elder, I think we've got one more under the questions and answers.
I got it. I'm right with you, man. I'm right with you.
All right.
All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We got Elder and Sister Turner.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sister Tracy, for that amazing word. When you were ministering this morning, the Lord was really speaking to me, especially to the part about when the Lord had spoke to the brothers to go out there and to possess the land, and they went out there and looked at it and brought something back, and they didn't really do what the Lord had told them exactly to do, only because the underlying of it was fear. And I started thinking about how at this time right now that's going on in the world, that the Lord has been preparing us and anointed us, and if you put in other words, we've been trained, like think of soldiers or soldiers for the army of the Lord. We've been trained, we've been put through tests, we've been put through obstacles, we've seen God move, we know the Lord, we have personal relationship with him. And at this time in this, we are the salt and we are the hope of the world. We're the light of the world. And so it is very important at this time that we listen to the instructions of the Lord, renew our minds daily, listen to his, read his word, hear his word, and doers of his word, because we are the hope of the world. Those that have no hope and that don't know God, we are the ones that show up and show them who God is in the midst of all this crisis situation. And as others have said, so many are turning to the Lord. Some that's never read the Bible, some that's never really prayed, are praying now and seeking something greater. And so it is not our time to fall apart or to walk in fear or anything like that, because we are the hope of the world. So I thank you so much for the word.
Amen. Amen. Again, it was a very powerful word. Kind of what comes to mind is it makes me think about what Pastor preached about a week or so ago. Is there anything that's too hard for God? You think about that question. Is there anything that is too hard for him? Because what comes to mind to me is when David faced off with the giant, and David went running towards the giant. He wasn't trying to use strategy, trying to sneak up on him, trying to come from behind him or whatnot, but he went running directly at him because, see, he had the mindset that I don't care how big the problem might be, my God is bigger than all of it. And with God on my side, there is nothing that is too hard for me to conquer. And that's the message that came out this morning, is that, you know, God has great blessings in store for his people. Don't be afraid of the giants in the land. Don't look at the mountains. Get away from all the naysayers. Believe God at his word and run. Don't walk. Run for what he has promised you and said that he will do for you. We need to all be like we were when we were little kids and it was Christmas morning. We ran to the Christmas tree to see what was there. We need to run when God tells us he's got something in store for us. Because if God said it, he can deliver it. All we need to do is believe in him. Powerful word, Sister Tracy. I thank God for using you this morning. Pastor, praise you want to say something this morning?
I just want to commend Sister Tracy for allowing the Lord to use her. That was a special word to all of us. And I thank you for allowing the Lord to use you. No fear. You just went on and teach the word, standing up in your authority. And your power, the power of God, can allow us or will allow us or will strengthen us to do anything. So we can do all things through Christ. And you did this morning. You delivered that word with power and anointing. And you did it through Christ. And I am grateful to you. It's been very effective. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Mom.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't want to miss anybody. If anybody has anything that they want to share this morning before we have a word of prayer. Well, I guess we will. Was that somebody there, Elder, that was trying to get on?
Nah, we're good. I think everybody who wanted to speak has spoken.
Has spoken. All right. All right. Well, we'll just say a word of prayer as we close out this morning. Father God, we just want to just come to you first and foremost, giving you thanks for all that you continually do. We thank you, Lord, for meeting us over the video and the airwaves this morning, Father God, allowing us all to come together and lift up your holy name, and that you might come and minister to us this morning through Sister Tracy. I ask a special blessing over Sister Tracy, that you will continue to bless her and give her great and deep understanding of your word, that she might be able to share that with many unto salvation, I pray. I pray over the word, Lord, that you will bless it to go out over the video and the airwaves into our eyes and ears and hearts, write it upon our heart, lest we forget and sin, but take that word and bless it and manifest it into much pleasing fruit, I pray. Now I ask, continue to bless the Greater Light Sunday School Department, all that are involved in bringing forth your word, that you will bless all those who come out to hear and to see and to learn from your word, that you will grow us, deepen our faith and our walk with you. Now I ask, take us from this part of the service, looking with great expectations of all that you will do in the service to come, giving you the praise, the glory, and the honor for everything that you do, and making even this possible during these times that we can still have service and lift up your name. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. We thank the Lord for what has happened so far this morning. We are now going to take a break, and we'll be back at 10:40 a.m., and we will have our morning worship service. Amen. So God bless you all, and we'll see you in about 15 minutes. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Elder.
It's gone.
Hallelujah. Young people, there's nothing wrong with dancing for Jesus. But we can't forget where we come from. So if you don't mind, let's have a little church right now.
Something about that name.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Listen.
Something about the name
Jesus. Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
It is the sweetest, sweetest name.
Sweetest, sweetest name I know.
Come on and lift your hands and say it.
It's the sweetest,
it is the sweetest name.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know.
Listen to this right here.
Some people say I'm crazy, but I can't explain.
No, no.
The power that I feel, oh, when I call your name.
When I call your name.
Said it's just like fire. Oh, oh, shut up in my bones.
Oh,
hey, the Holy Ghost is moving here.
Yes, it is.
And it just won't leave me alone. Oh, there's something. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something about the name.
Yes, it is.
Something about the name.
Oh, I realize.
It is the sweetest name.
Oh,
wait till the fire comes. You can go on, shout, praise him, do it now. Oh, 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 yeah, 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 yeah.
Sweetest name ever.
Best thing that's ever happened to me,
yes,
y'all.
Yeah.
Every praise
is to our God.
make a joyful noise in this house.